I'm David Schreiner Kahn, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I interview on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep people stuck. Today, I'm pleased to welcome Brenda Williams. Brenda has provided consulting and coaching to individuals and businesses for over 25 years. Brenda focuses on leadership development and emotional intelligence. She has created a self-mastery system that leads to progressive communication skills and extraordinary relationships. Brenda helps individuals and organizations make critical changes in their behavior, mindset, and skills, leading to laser-focused results and transformational change. Brenda, welcome to the show. It's so great to have you on.
Thank you, David. I'm excited to be here.
So why don't we start off by you telling us a little bit about your background and how you got into the consulting and coaching that you do now.
Okay. Well, I was in corporate America for over 25 years, and I was providing IT consulting services. I worked at the C-level all the way on down into the worker bees inside the company. And I loved what I did. It was fun for quite a long time. And somewhere along the way, I started waking up on Monday mornings not as excited and enthusiastic about life. And I started asking myself why that was, because my career was going extremely well. I was very successful, traveling the world, helping a lot of people, and there was something missing. So I actually went in search of my own purpose, my own passion, and finding more meaning in life. And as I started that journey, I started realizing how many people out there had fallen asleep at the wheel. And I started inspiring them to wake up and get excited and enthusiastic. And the more I shared my journey, the more they shared their experiences and their stories. And I realized that there was a lot of people out there that had fallen into jobs and careers and marriages, and they weren't really happy and satisfied. So I started seeing more and more of a need to help people become consciously aware and to create the mindset that they can live the life they want. And they, in fact, they can create the life they want if they truly want to. So it's creating that desire and that passion and coming alive again and realizing that anything's possible if you really want it bad enough.
Interesting. So as you've gone through your own experience, what do you see as some of the elements that create great leadership in the people you work with?
Well, self-awareness, I think, is really the most important piece of it. The emotional intelligence that you mentioned earlier in my introduction, becoming aware of how you're showing up. You know, most of us think we are one way. But when you do a 360-degree view and a self-assessment with people outside of yourself, whether it's your family, your friends, your coworkers, your employees, you get a different feedback. And most people are quite surprised with what they find when they start looking at, how am I coming across to the rest of the world? So creating that self-awareness is really the first step. Being consciously aware of how you are showing up, how you're communicating internally as well as externally. And in a leadership role, it becomes extremely important to know, how am I coming across to my people? Am I creating that vision and that big picture that gets them excited and enthusiastic, that creates that innovation and opens up the realm for creativity? And am I inspiring them and making them feel appreciated and like a part of a bigger journey? And I find that a lot of leaders lack some of those skills.
So what are some of the common surprises that people discover when they start asking questions of those around them?
Well, they realize that they're not always exciting the team. That sometimes they make assumptions and interpretations about their team that leads them to squashing creativity and innovation. And in many cases, a lot of leaders, people are afraid of leaders. A lot of people that I coach are fearful of losing their job. Well, my leader doesn't think this way. And if I share my ideas, you know, I might get fired, or, you know, they're just never going to go down that path. And so leadership needs to open up the doorway to inviting creativity and conflict as well, where people will interrogate reality and share their ideas and have brainstorming sessions of creative and innovative approaches, so that you don't squash those new ideas and that can come into the organization.
Interesting. So what are some examples of people or kinds of people where you've coached them and they've had these surprises?
Well, it's interesting because I was coaching someone the other day and she said, oh, I've got to go to my senior leadership meeting. We're all vice presidents and we have one leader. You know, there's about four or five of us and there's a leader above us. And that leader is very negative and very much it's my way or the highway. And she's probably fired three or four people in the last couple of years. So everybody's fearful of their jobs. And she said, we sit in these meetings and everybody's so guarded. Everybody's too fearful to really say what they think and to open up, to explore new ideas. And if it's anything that does not agree with the way the senior leader in the room thinks, people are too fearful to speak up. And so when executives realize and higher level leaders realize the importance and the value of opening that floor to invite other ideas and people to be creative and innovative and just explore different approaches and different perspectives. That's what I look at a lot in my coaching, is to look at different perspectives, because usually everybody in the room has a different perspective. And if you invite that, you learn so much more. And the ideas and the innovation that can come into an organization is unbelievable when you open that doorway.
Now, if you're one of those people who's not the top leader in the company and you're in an environment where you feel insecure, are there things that you can do that will open up the eyes of the top leadership without you feeling threatened that you're going to lose your job?
Absolutely. And I think it starts with creating your own self-confidence, your own self-awareness, and learning the right skills and tools to communicate effectively. So there are ways to have those conversations and bring forth new ideas, as long as you approach them in a politically correct way that's positive and upbeat and comes across with enthusiasm. I have seven levels of awareness that I teach people in my coaching program, and it shows them those different ways that you can approach conversations and how to communicate more effectively with people by understanding more about them. You know, what is in it for them? What are their needs? What are the needs of the company and the organization? And how can I relay this message so that it doesn't come across as arrogance from me, or the way it's going to help me or my department, but how's it going to help the entire organization? And if you come forth with ideas that are going to help the entire company and be presented in a compassionate, giving, caring approach, who can say no to that? At least you have the opportunity to present it in a positive way.
That's interesting. What do you see as some of the steps that are needed to become known as a leader?
Sharing the bigger vision and the big picture, the direction that the organization is going, is really first and foremost. But then truly understanding, what are you working with? What's going on inside your organization? What's the culture like? I have found in so many cases that you go inside a company and the executive leadership, they can create the vision and the picture, but they don't really realize what's happening in the trenches, because people, again, are guarded when they come to higher level leaders. When you roll up your sleeves and you get into the trenches and you understand your people and you become an active listener and you learn the skills to ask clarifying questions and you put those energy blocks aside that can stand in your way as totally hidden roadblocks, you start uncovering and unveiling what's really happening deep down in the organization. And when you understand what's really happening, you can then create the right approach to help the growth and to ignite the passion and the enthusiasm and the collaboration and the team synergy. When you bring everybody together for a common cause, where they work together collectively, many, many companies and surveys have shown this over and over again, just because someone's sitting in a seat doesn't mean they're given 200%.
No, the contrary, very often they're giving way less than 100%, and there are lots of studies that show how disengaged most workers are and how some workers even sabotage their employers on a regular basis.
Yeah, and there's a lot of, I like to say I get people to collaborate and play well in the sandbox together, because so many people are trying to climb the corporate ladder these days that there can be some infighting and some backstabbing, and sometimes it's done intentionally. Other times it's done just because someone has a particular goal that serves them, that serves their team, their division, their department, and they're only thinking about themselves and what they want. When you get a management, a leadership team together, and they start collaborating, and they look at the big picture, and how can they all help and support each other, and how can they work together collaboratively, and invite conflict, look at everybody's ideas and perspectives and viewpoints, and then decide as a team, what's the best approach for us as an organization? Everybody gets on the same page. Everybody becomes more excited and enthusiastic, and they work together more collectively. And that's an environment and a culture that you have to create. And it is not the norm.
No, it isn't. Brenda, talk to me a little bit about what you just mentioned, this inviting conflict. How does that work?
Well, I like to say you interrogate reality. You put everybody's thoughts and beliefs on the table, and you have to really go into this with an open mind. In so many cases, people will take things personally, and they will judge other people's opinions and ideas because they have their own opinion of what's right or wrong, what's the right approach or the best process, or how's it going to affect my group. When you open up your mind and you put all of those beliefs that you have aside and you truly listen, I call it active listening. You listen to where the other person's coming from. You understand their needs and what makes them tick and what would help them and their department and their team be more successful. And then you start looking at, well, what could I do to help them? What could I do to be part of that? To help the entire group, the entire organization come together to work together more effectively. So they have to learn certain skills. Active listening does not happen naturally. Most people are listening to respond or through their own limiting beliefs and their own perceptions of what they think is right or wrong, good or bad, or the best approach. And when I coach people and work with them, and they start putting these beliefs aside and they stop taking things personally and they stop judging, the world transforms right before their eyes. And so do their relationships. The relationships start to thrive and flourish because now it's not just what's in it for me. It's we're all in this together.
I love what you said about active listening.
Absolutely. I work with a lot of project managers because everything they do revolves around communication. And I like to say they have one of the most challenging roles inside an organization because they're usually responsible for multi-million dollar projects, but nobody reports to them directly. And they've got to rally the troops throughout large organizations to get them all excited and enthusiastic about a project that might not be very interesting to them. And in many cases, they're not even excited about the project itself. Maybe it's new technology. Maybe it's implementing a new product line. But whatever it may be, most people will resist change.
And the project manager doesn't have formal authority over the people that they're asking to do the work.
Correct. So they have to learn to inspire, influence, motivate, and rally the troops towards the common cause and really share with them the value of the project. So I actually do workshops and training and inside companies, as well as a leadership communication workshop I have coming up in April that will help people learn the skills and tools to become an active listener. And we learn it in coaching. It's one of the key skills that we learn as a coach, is to put all of our biases, all of our beliefs that we've had in the past, all of our ideas, perceptions, and opinions aside. And we really listen to the person in front of us. And then we learn to ask clarifying questions. So each time someone says something, we don't make an interpretation of what we think they said or an assumption about what they might have meant. We start asking clarifying questions, open-ended questions, to gather more data, more information, to understand what's in it for them, how are they emotionally connected, why is it important to them, why would they make this a priority in their life or their business. And so when I work with this project manager, she said, I sat in this meeting and I looked at putting all of my personal opinions and judgments aside. I had her focus on don't take it personally. So if someone says something that initially might ruffle your feathers or you might rattle your cage and you think, well, that's personal. It's not always personal. Sometimes we make it personal. And when you start becoming consciously aware of that, you realize how often you make things personal and that you judge others. And she said, I couldn't believe it. I sat in this leadership meeting and it was everywhere. The finger pointing, the blame game, the you did this, you did that, the taking it personal, the judging others. It was everywhere in this meeting. And she calls it death by meetings. And she said, when I was able to really see where that shows up, not only in my life and how I show up, but in everybody else in the room, it's amazing when you can put that all aside and become an active, intuitive listener, what you can learn. And it's a game changer in your personal life and your professional life. That's one of the reasons I became a communication expert in my coaching practice. And now I train and speak on it because it really focuses on everything we do in life.
Yeah, I know communication causes all kinds of problems in businesses. You're so right. Are there some simple steps leaders can take to improve communications beyond the self-awareness?
Absolutely. There's a lot of different approaches they can take. Emotional intelligence is kind of been around for the last 10 or 15 years, and a lot of companies are embracing it. And they're starting to train and teach their teams to be emotionally intelligent. And it's funny because many, many years ago, nobody ever spoke about emotions in the office, but they directly relate to how people communicate. Because we all have emotions and feelings, and some of us are better at squashing it and masking it than others. But I mean, I coach people all the time that will say, you should see what happens in my office. We have leaders getting in meetings with people and they're yelling and screaming, or they're using tones and they're talking in demeaning language, and they're not inspiring and motivating teams. So learning how you come across, the tones that you use, the biases that you have, your perspectives, opening up your mind to listening, making sure you're an active listener, being consciously aware, am I really listening to what they're saying? Am I asking enough clarifying questions to understand what's really happening here? And it's not the norm. In most cases, many leaders think, well, I've been doing this for 20 years. I know exactly what's going on and how people should be doing it. And when they have that mindset, it doesn't invite change. It doesn't invite new ideas, innovation, creativity, excitement. And then you throw in all the different generations that are now working inside organizations. And they all have different needs, wants, and desires. And so as a leader, you also have to understand the nuances between the generations. What are their needs, wants, and desires? How can I inspire, influence, and motivate them? And listening and asking questions and finding out which generation is passionate about what and how to approach them is another tool and skill you can learn. I put a chart together for one of my speaking engagements around communication, and I have one for communication and I have one for leadership. And when you start looking at all the facets, all the qualities, all the characteristics, all the skills, tools, and resources needed to be a successful leader and communicator, almost nobody in the room, and I'm talking hundreds of people, will raise their hand and say they've mastered it all. So being able to take a look at the list of here's all of the skills, tools, and resources I need to have to reach for my greatness, to reach for my excellence. And here's my strengths, here's my gaps, and here's the tools and the resources that I need to be an amazing leader. And that's what I provide when I work with people on my self-mastery system. I give them clarity around where they are today. I help them get focused on what they need to work on next. And then they implement an action plan and get the right skills, tools, training, and resources to get there.
How important do you think it is, Brenda, for people who need to grow and need to learn? How important do you think it is for them to want to get help?
I think it's very important. I tell people all the time, for example, another person I was coaching said, well, my manager, my leader, the executive leader here will never change. And I said, you cannot change others. You can only change yourself and how you show up. And when you show up in a different way, the response that you get from other people will start to change. Because when you have a positive, upbeat spirit, I call it anabolic energy, and you're focused on listening and understanding and inspiring and helping people feel appreciated and part of something bigger, you get a result of collaboration, team synergy, loyalty, respect. But when you show up in some of these meetings, I hear this all the time, with the blame game and the finger pointing, the negative energy, the catabolic draining energy that I speak about in my energy leadership program, that gets you a whole different result. People are not as excited and enthusiastic, and it squashes the innovation. So you can't necessarily get people to want to change, but when they see you change, it can make all the difference in the world.
Brenda, looking back over your own career, what have been some of your ups and downs?
Well, it's funny you asked that question, David. I came from the East Coast of the United States, from a small town called Warwick, Rhode Island. And I like to say I grew up with a lot of loud Italians and crazy Irish people. And in the world that I grew up in, it was an unfiltered world. And there was little left on the sugarcoating. I grew up in an environment where you said exactly what was on your mind, and you never thought twice about how it was received on the other end. And emotional intelligence was, I don't even think it was in the dictionary at that time. And so as I grew up and I moved to the West Coast, I started to realize not everybody communicates that way. And I always like to joke around when I tell people I became a communication expert because I'm so passionate about it, because I learned the hard way. I definitely learned the hard way. And I had a presentation I gave a few weeks back, and it was pretty funny because I had some people I worked with about 15 years ago show up for the presentation. And I said, there's a few people in the back of the room that'll attest to the way I used to communicate. And so I've realized how important it is to change the way I come across and to adapt to the people that I'm working with or speaking with, and to use that emotional intelligence. So when I started embracing that, my whole life transformed, both personally and professionally. In my personal life, I was able to meet the man of my dreams. I married my soulmate 2 years ago.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And trust me, that was a big accomplishment. A lot had to change about my internal dialogue around relationships and my external communication. And then in the business world, as a business owner, now you are the CEO, the vice president of operations, accounting, finance. As an entrepreneur, you are everybody. And you will have to learn new skills, tools, techniques that will blow your mind as an entrepreneur. I have a newfound respect for corporate America and all the people on the team that come together to help and support each other. Because when you're building a small business, you do it all. So you better learn to be emotionally intelligent, because every day you're pushing yourself to change, to learn new skills, tools, and techniques, and you're always outside of your comfort zone. And that's something, even in the business world, if corporate America could learn to embrace change more effectively, if people could learn to look at mistakes in a different light, that they could embrace it and learn from it, it will help companies and organizations grow and reach for their greatness.
That's great. What have been some of your big successes?
Well, my biggest success was when I started this journey 15 years ago to my own self-awareness, to really looking inside. I like to say looking in the mirror at the good, the bad, and the ugly. Looking at who I'd become as an adult, which directly reflects upon your childhood and how you grew up and the beliefs and the values that we've created. When you look in the mirror and you know who you are, it's not always an easy thing to do, because we all have strengths and we all have certain gaps and areas that we could improve upon. And there's most people in the world are afraid to look in that mirror. It's a small percentage that'll really step up to the plate and take that deeper look. And when you do, it's a game changer. So I was willing to do that. I wanted more in my life. And I wanted to reach for the greatness that I had inside me. I wanted to discover my purpose and my passion and do something that would make a difference in the world. And so when I took a look in that mirror and I did that self-reflection and I learned my strengths and my gaps and I went in search of the tools and resources that I needed to become the person that I wanted to be, it transformed my life. And that's why I'm so passionate about what I do. It's why I became a coach, because I have applied everything in my life that I teach people and I coach people. I have applied it and have transformed my whole world, my relationships with my family, my friends, my coworkers. I went in search of my passion. I own my own business. I've married my soulmate. I mean, I'm living my dream. And I just feel that if everybody in the world could look in that mirror and discover their strengths and their gaps and work on reaching for their greatness and their passion and their excitement and enthusiasm for life, the world would be a better place, wouldn't it?
It would be such a better place. Brenda, this is so exciting. Speaking of which, tell me one thing you're working on now that's really exciting.
Well, I'm transforming my business right now. When I left corporate America, I left because I realized my passion was coaching people. And so I took it very seriously. Even though part of what I had done for 20 years in corporate was coach people, I wanted to have a formal coaching business with all the tools, the resources, the programs to help people become aware and change. Because changing who you've been for 20, 30, 40, 50, and sometimes 60 years is not an easy thing to do. We actually have pathways in our brain that have caused us to have habits and beliefs and systems, ways of doing things. And even when we realize certain things about ourselves and we want to change, sometimes it's difficult. So I went in search of tools and resources and more effective ways to implement that change. And so when I started my business, I started out believing I'm just going to be a coach. But then I realized a big piece of what I do, the bigger picture, the journey of inspiring people and the world to look in the mirror would require public speaking, And then it transformed into training, going inside organizations, doing workshops, lunch and learns, training programs, because these are skills most of us are not taught in school. I was recently out at a college teaching this, and I was inside organizations and doing the team training, bringing them together. And so my business has transformed from just coaching to the Academy for Leadership Communication. And I'll be launching a new website in the next few months that will incorporate all of the tools and resources that it takes to help people, individuals, and organizations become emotionally intelligent and learn the skills they need to become better leaders, you know, active listeners, ask clarifying questions, remove the hidden roadblocks and obstacles, discover your strengths and gaps, and help you get the tools that you need to get where you want to go next. I'm very excited to roll it out. Actually, on April 25th, I'm doing a leadership communication workshop, and that's where I will be launching all of the new resources, tools, the information, the training. It's a whole day to help people become better leaders of themselves and others, and gives them the skills and the tools they need to start implementing all the things I've been talking about today.
That's really exciting. Brenda, I wonder if you could mention one person who's been a major influence in your career.
That's a challenge because there's been many great people that I've been exposed to over the years. But the person I think that I'd speak to today would be my coach. I believe it's so important to have a coach and an accountability partner, because we all have certain hidden roadblocks and obstacles. So reaching for your greatness is an individual experience. And when you have someone that you work with who can help you see things in a different light, a different perspective, who can be your guide and hold up that mirror sometimes when you're not even seeing it yourself, can change the game of life for you in so many facets. And so my coach, Keith Miller, is a pretty amazing person. And I just want to acknowledge him for that. I love having him in my life.
Great. Thank you. And lastly, Brenda, who do you know personally who's doing really remarkable work?
Well, in the journey of coaching, you meet so many people that are really trying to make a difference in the world. They go into this business because they want to help people live happier, more joyful lives. And there's many coaches that I've met along the way that focus in different areas. That's the wonderful thing about coaching. So maybe for one, it's helping people be a better leader or a better communicator. And for others, it's helping them reach inside and become more spiritual and more balanced. And so I know many coaches out there that are making a difference by helping people live more balanced lives that focus in all facets of what it takes to live a more joyful life with inner peace. And I like to say to create more happiness and success with less stress. And there's a lot of pieces to that puzzle. So there's many, many coaches that I've met in the last 3 or 4 years, too many to mention, that are making a difference in helping people become consciously aware and to live happier, more joyful existences, where we all believe we're in this world together for the common good. And when you start embracing that mindset, your world changes, your relationships change, and you have less of the stress and the overwhelm and the anxiety that so many people have these days because of the hamster wheel so many of us end up on.
And isn't it remarkable when we're able to find someone who can help us get off the hamster wheel?
Yes, and I'm a believer, David, that we all need someone to be our accountability partner. And I believe whether you're a CEO, executive, a leader inside an organization, a manager, or just a mother, we all can use an accountability partner to hold up that mirror so that we can really look inside and discover our greatness and bring out who we were meant to be.
That's really great. Brenda, can you please tell listeners how they can learn more about you?
I'll be happy to. The best bet is to go to my website, which is currently Your Coaching Solution, and it's spelled YourCoachingSolution.com. Or they can call me at 714-283-1186.
Great. Brenda, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today on Smashing the Plateau. My guest today has been coach, consultant, mentor, and speaker, Brenda Williams. Thank you again, Brenda, for joining us.
Thank you, David. It's been a pleasure. I appreciate it.
You've been listening to Smashing the Plateau, the podcast produced by 10 Strategic Partners. Be sure to visit our website at smashingtheplateau.com and join our email list to hear many more great interviews like this one. And if you like what you heard, please leave us a review on iTunes by going to smashingtheplateau.com/iTunes. I'm your host, David Schreiner-Kahn, and we'll be talking again soon.